Welcome back to the show. I had such a great chance to talk to John Bloom. I begged him to stick around and talk to me for a little bit more, and he said no, and then he said yes. So I was really excited that he was willing to do that. He is a author at desiringgod.org, and he's written several books. And I had a great conversation with him about just the other day, and I thought, well, let's talk about how we can overcome pressing distractions, because what else do we have, John? And we got nothing but distractions in life, don't we?
Oh, my gosh.
Speak to me.
Everything in life just about can become a distraction if our hearts are in a place of anxiety and fear.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we left off at the last time we talked. Weeks ago
we talked about that.
There's this sense that when we are living out of a place of hope, our souls are expansive. We have a much greater capacity to do almost everything. We have much greater tolerance to deal with people, to deal with pain, to deal with workload issues. But when we when fear grips us, when we feel anxious, everything inside of us constricts. We feel like we want to protect ourselves, and we want to guard ourselves. And then everything then becomes a distraction, or can be. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to maintain concentration mm-hmm. when you have that frame of mind.
Well, talk about some of the things that you yourself deal with. Like you talk about in the article, like during morning prayer time, you can realize all of a sudden, I've stopped praying. And now I'm already in an imaginary conversation with someone.
Oh.
And you're already down that road. And how did you go from talking to the creator of the universe to an imaginary conversation that may or may not happen? Not to put you on the spot, but you're on.
Yeah, well, I said it publicly in my article, and so I have to own up to it. It's just true. And it's somewhat regular for me. So, whatever happens to be weighing on me, and so I tend to have my time with the Lord, my devotional time in the mornings, usually in the early mornings. And I will go from prayer or soaking in the scripture to all of a sudden, without hardly noticing it, I'm thinking about something that's concerning me, giving me anxiety. It can be a fear. And sometimes they're rooted in something real, something that I'm doing or involved with. And other times, they're irrational fears.
Mm.
Something is poked.
I've
fear
heard
in
that.
Me. And so it's powerful. Those kind of things have a force of gravity in our concentration. And they just want to draw the mind away. And that can happen subtly. And pretty soon, there's 10, 15 minutes. And all of a sudden I realize I haven't been praying. I've been talking to myself or some imaginary person about this issue that I'm dealing with. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, I mean, it's a real issue.
Yeah, talk a little bit about what you have spoken in your article about official beliefs and functional beliefs. I think this is kind of a big deal because we all have a position that we take in theory, but how do we go about it in reality?
Yeah, in the article I talked about official beliefs and functional beliefs. It's sort of like if you visit a company, And in their waiting area, you see a mission statement on the wall or something like that. Here's what we value.
Right.
These core values. This is our mission. Those are fine. But if you really want to see what the company believes, you observe its operations.
Right.
How does it actually function?
Yeah.
Does it actually have the culture that reflects that mission or those values?
Right.
Or not? Because it's the functional culture that really dictates what they do,
mm-hmm.
not what we say. And so officially, we can have all sorts of very orthodox creeds that govern our official beliefs. Here's what we believe about God. Here's what we believe about others. Here's what we believe about ourselves. And yet, if you really want to see what you believe, look at the way you operate. Do you operate? Is your operations, the way you live, does that reflect the way you actually believe? Because it's the functional beliefs that drive how you actually live.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Now, you also refer to Philippians 4:8 in this article. Whatever is true, honorable, just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Think about these things. That's kind of the thing that sticks out with me.
Yeah. I use that verse. I wrote that article because I've been using that verse very practically to deal with my own distractions. Because distractions can speak lies to you. So you start thinking a certain way, and then you start recognizing there's fears are coming or anxieties are coming up. Well, right then, as soon as you – whatever emotion that you feel, underneath that emotion is a belief. All you have to do is look underneath the emotion.
Yep.
That's how it works. So if you feel afraid, even though you might not in the moment be able to articulate it, it's inside of you, the way it's operating. It's really not as that vague. You have to do a little work to press in. Why am I feeling this way? And you start asking yourself, what is it that I believe? Why am I afraid or why am I anxious? And underneath that is a functional belief. And if that functional belief is not true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, praiseworthy, we have to then take that verse and apply it in some very practical way. Because Paul is saying, it's an imperative. It's a command. Think about these things. In other words, we're not victims of our moods. Our moods come. We might not have chosen them, but they're there. Something is operating underneath. We then need to say, well, that needs to be addressed, and I'm going to address it. Think about these things.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if we're able to process that in real time. When you say if there's whatever is honorable, just, or pure, lovely, think about these things. I wonder if we can process that in real time or if we only see it in our rearview mirror. I see what I was thinking today. I was not thinking correctly. Darn it, what's underneath that thought I had? Because if we could do it in real time, we'd be way happier.
Right. And that's what Paul wants us to do. Okay, the reason we're not doing it in real time is because we are not conditioned to do it in real time. We have habits. We have habits of thinking. We have habits of giving into fears and certain anxieties. And they're easier. They're far easier to do than to do what I was just saying, where you start doing the work. And it's not any real different in principle than, you know, if you're out of shape, it's a lot easier to sit on the couch than do exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to begin to build uncomfortable exercises. They're uncomfortable, especially at first, in building new habits in order to build capacities to change. And it's uncomfortable. The same thing with eating. If you're used to just eating indulgent foods, it's a lot easier to keep doing that. They're habits. How do you change? Well, it takes a lot of concentration, especially up front, to do it. But it begins to build a habit of eating. And the same thing goes with this spiritual principle. We must begin to build new habits of awareness. Wait a minute. That's not godly. What do I do? I do this. And over time, that you stop having to think so much about
mm-hmm.
it. So consciously, it becomes a new habit. But it does take work, just
yes,
like other things do.
It does. I'm speaking to John Bloom. We'll take a short break. Thanks for being with us. I'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back to the show. I have John Bloom in my studio, and I could not be any happier right now. He serves as author, board chair, and co-founder of Desiring God. And we've been talking a little bit about anxiety and how we can overcome it with spiritual disciplines, and how I want to talk to you about fighting for joy. You're talking about that in an article in Desiring God, how to overcome pressing distractions. John, you were saying there is disciplines involved. There is habits we need to develop. It isn't intentional. And like anything of any value, whether you're learning to play an instrument or learning a foreign language, it's persistence, it's repetition, it's discipline, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And it doesn't come natural. So if it's hard, like you, just like any other discipline, when you begin, you might have this new resolve, like, oh, I'm gonna overcome these anxieties. And that first day it works, and you're yes. And then the next day, it feels real strong, and you don't feel the same resolve, and you can fall back into old habits. And so it does take a willingness to persist in order to develop the habits, new habits of thinking.
So what are some pieces of encouragement. You know, when you say we can all go gung-ho for a day, day and a half tops, and then all of a sudden we can fade into the background. Should we be gathering other people to help us be accountable? Should we engage with other people that are want to do a similar sort of thing? Or do you have any advice for how we can be better at pulling this off?
Yeah, I mean, you have to, in some degree, know yourself. And so, you know, pieces of advice like this work for some and not for others because we're wired differently. And so it does help to have somebody or some others who know what you're trying to work through and are going to be asking you questions. And you know, if you, for a certain measure of accountability. The other thing is there's no getting around the fact that learning new habits, spiritual habits as well as any other habits, they are not going to be easy and they're not meant to. All right, there is great spiritual value that we learn, and it has broader application to other areas of life as we learn to endure, as we learn to overcome, as we learn to not give in to the desires or just the moods or the things that we just want, ways that we just want to indulge ourselves, but we press through that, and it does mean that we need some very concrete promises of God. What does he promise if we do this? You know, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. So we got asking God with thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Let your request be made known to God. Or give thanks in all circumstances, it says in 1 Thessalonians. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Take that and apply it when you don't feel like you want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you will find that it actually works. So if you press through in the same way that when you get on I don't want to get on the treadmill. Oh, I don't want to get on the treadmill. But you do, and you press through.
Mm-hmm.
There is joy waiting if you will not believe your perceptions, but you will believe God's promises. And in that verse from Philippians 4:8, as long as it remains in these vague categories, you know, truth, justice, purity, whatever, those are nice abstract concepts, but they don't help us in the moment. We need to say what specifically is true right now about what I'm feeling. You know, what is pure? If this is not pure, what is pure in relation to it? If this is not just, what is just? If this is ugly and depraved, what is beautiful? And press it. You got to press it into specifics.
When you, John, you talk about Philippians 4 and you say, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition.
Mm-hmm.
I think the next two words is pretty significant with thanksgiving.
Yes.
I think we oftentimes go to God angrily.
Yeah.
We go to God with great tension in our spirits.
Yep.
Because the plate is so full and the problem is so real and it's hard to go with a grateful, thankful heart, isn't it?
It is. We want to grumble.
Yes, we go angrily.
Yeah. God, why aren't you helping me?
Yes. Thank
God,
you.
God, why aren't things changing?
Yes.
I'm trying and you're not seeming to help me. You know, all that kind of thing. We lapse into grumbling. And like I said with anxiety, when anxiety is governing, things constrict inside. When grumbling is governing, it produces a kind of Teflon on the soul.
Mm-hmm.
Of unbelief.
Yeah.
That's what it does.
Yeah.
Just nothing sticks. Nothing looks good.
Yeah.
Because you have that command to give thanks is not merely, you know, well, now honor God with thanksgiving. It is prescriptive.
Yeah.
This is for the health of your soul. If you say, well, I don't feel thankful. Well, good. I'm glad we recognize that about ourselves. Good, good. We're not feeling thankful. That doesn't mean this isn't working. It means something's disordered. What can I give thanks for?
Yeah.
And as soon as we begin to ask that question and begin to start giving thanks when you don't feel like it, you'll notice things begin to shift inside. All of a sudden you start seeing things that you didn't see before. Oh, yeah, I can see that. Oh. I mean, it happens to me frequently. When I'm not in a frame of mind to be giving thanks, I'm in a frame of mind to grumble crabby. And then I begin to make myself think, what do I have to be thankful? What is good about this? What good? If God is able to turn all things together for good, work all things together for good, Romans 8:28, then he's doing it right now.
Mm-hmm.
What is good for my soul in this situation?
Yeah. John, it's such a delight having you in studio, and I know where you live now, so I'm going to call you regularly.
I'm happy to come.
What a great conversation. Speaking to John Bloom, he serves as the author and board chair and co-founder of Desiring God. You can head over to desiringgod.org to find out his writings and more about his books. John, thank you so much for being with us this morning, and we'll be back again with you soon, and we'll be take a short break and be back with more of the show in just a minute. And you are my everything.